We are back on the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Lindsay Patterson alongside Tyler Dragon and Charlie Goldsmith. How you guys doing?
It's New Year's Eve. Hopefully 2021 is going to be way better than 2020. 2020 has been a year of a lot of loss, disappointment, coronavirus, obviously. But hopefully 2021, everybody out there listening and everybody around Cincinnati, the country and the world will have a much better, prosperous and healthy 2021. I'm sure all of us want to say goodbye to 2020, right?
Peace.
Peace out.
I prefer when an NFL season ends in one calendar year without going into January, simply because on the football reference page, it'll have to have the stats December/January, which just gives me a hard time. But other than that, I can't think of another reason why I wouldn't be happy about the start of 2021 here.
I think we need to, if we were allowed to, play Little Boys to Men, End of the Road, because it's the end of the road for a lot of things.
Could I sing it?
If you want. I'm sure the
listeners... I might get fine, though, right?
Maybe we shouldn't go that route. Maybe. I mean, I'm sure, Tyler, you have the vocals, but we won't go that route. But it is. It's the end of the road. Last day of 2020, week 17 regular season. The Bengals aren't going to the playoffs, obviously. And the star wide receiver who's been here for a decade, which is still crazy to think about. It's unfortunate because he's battled injuries when he was in Cincinnati, AJ Green. We talked to AJ Green today, and all signs are pointing this team is more than likely going to move on from AJ Green. We've talked about it on past podcasts. We've kind of known this for the majority of the 2020 season. But listening to AJ Green today, and sometimes players will just shove it off and be like, I don't want to talk about that. I only want to talk about week 17. AJ Green has been honest with us. He's been honest with us for a while, and he pretty much just told us, like, look, I'm grateful for the opportunities. The Brown family, it's 10 years I wouldn't want back. And that's a guy saying that who's, like I said, battled plenty of injuries while he was here. I do see AJ Green's career continuing. I don't see it in Cincinnati, which isn't breaking too much news. But what did you think from Green today when you heard him talk?
So, well, let me go backwards a little bit. When the locker rooms were open and available to the media, and when we got a chance to, you know, roam around locker rooms and talk to players, AJ Green and I have had one-on-one conversations more than a few times. And even before the press conference today, I know that AJ Green, he values staying with a franchise, breaking records with the franchise, like the whole Larry Fitzgerald, you know, model. Larry Fitzgerald's been in Arizona for his entire career. AJ Green values that. He loves playing in Cincinnati. He said that publicly, that he loves being a Cincinnati Bengal. But at this point in his career, he also values winning and playing with a contender and wants to, you know, be valued and wants a multi-year deal and, you know, wants an opportunity to prove that he is still one of the best receivers in the National Football League. Now, this year, we haven't obviously gotten a chance to go on locker rooms because of coronavirus and the NFL protocols and different restrictions here and there. But his feelings remain the same. Yes, he values being in Cincinnati and being a Bengal, but he also really values and wants to win and wants an opportunity to win a Super Bowl. Now, you can question, okay, well, does he have an opportunity to win in Cincinnati when Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, DJ Reader, Trey Waynes, the whole, almost all the productive players come back healthy next year? Or does he have a better opportunity, you know, to go elsewhere and, you know, win a ring or a playoff game? Obviously, there's no guarantees in the NFL. One injury away from having your whole season go down the drain. If the Chiefs lost Patrick Mahomes to an injury, they would not be Super Bowl contenders. Same with Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. So anything can happen on any given Sunday in the National Football League. But I know at this point in his career, AJ Green wants to be able to have an opportunity to win. And he is going to sit down with his family, the ones that are close to him and the ones that he trusts, and, you know, mull over his decision. And part of that is going to be on the Bengals, too. Do the Bengals want to give Green a second, well, sorry, a third multi-year contract extension? Green wants to have a multi-year deal. He does not want to sign another, you know, franchise tag, a one-year deal. He wants some stability and wants, you know, a team to value him and, you know, some security, a long-term security at this point. He's 32 years old. We all know that he's on the back end of his career, but he still believes he has a few more prime years left in his body. And, you know, he wants, if he's going to stay in Cincinnati, he wants the Bengals to treat him as an upper echelon receiver and a receiver that's number two in franchise history in most major receiving categories. But he also knows, on the other hand, that his best opportunity to win in the near future is elsewhere. And I'm just being point blank, 100% honest. And yeah, I alluded to that in my story today, shameless plug on Cincinnati.com. There's the AJ Green story. I mentioned that he is good friends with Kevin Durant for a reason. There's a method to my madness. And I mentioned that for a reason. When Kevin Durant left for Brooklyn, he sent AJ Green a jersey. It hung in his locker room all of last season. I haven't been able to see his locker room this season because of COVID, and we haven't had a conversation about that. But, you know, I did ask him today if he had spoken to Kevin Durant recently. And there was a reason why I asked a question.
I was wondering because there was one question left, and I'm like, Tyler, really?
There was a reason why I asked that question. And now y'all know why I asked.
He's going to the
NBA. I didn't say.
He's going to the NBA.
I asked the question because I know he's good friends with Kevin Durant. And, I mean, he may have a conversation with Durant, you know, after the season and, you know, pick his brain how it's like, you know, switching franchises, you know, in your career and, you know, seeking a better opportunity for a ring. So, yeah, I he said he's going to talk to him too, didn't he?
He was very lengthy in his answer. It was the final question that you got to ask him in the press conference. And I thought, Tyler, for me personally, I was like, Tyler just throwing in another NBA question for one of his guys. And no, he actually seemed pretty surprised and excited to answer that and said that he plans on speaking with Kevin Durant soon.
That's the reason why I asked.
I like your style.
Went over some people's heads, but that's okay. There's a method to my madness.
I think when we discuss AJ Green, there are kind of two directions we have to look. To have a complete conversation about him, you have to look back and you have to look forward. Looking back, I mean, he's probably one of the 10, 15 best Bengals of all time. He's in the conversation among one of the best three wide receivers to ever play for the franchise. There was a moment, a few year stretch, where he was one of the best three to five wide receivers in the entire NFL. And he's probably made like four of the best 20 plays in Bengals history. It's equivalent to an icon like Joey Votto leaving the Reds, or you know, a great head coach like Chris Mack leaving Xavier, or a great head coach like Bob Huggins leaving UC. AJ Green has been a staple of the Bengals culture and just the Bengals national perception. He's been probably their biggest household name until Joe Burrow came for the last 10 seasons. Now you have to look forward as well. I mean, you know, I really do believe this. I've said this on previous podcasts. Auden Tate had a more productive season than Joe Burrow this year. Had a more productive season than AJ Green this year. The Bengals running 11 personnel as much as they do really need consistent production from their third wide receiver. And as much as AJ and Auden did, I think it's crucial as we scope out, you know, what the Bengals need on the offensive line and the defensive line. It's important to remember this is AJ Green's last game with the Bengals. The Bengals are going to need a really proven and a really consistent third wide receiver. Whether that's Auden Tate, who was injured this year, who might still have more room to grow, whether that's a free agent they bring in on the back end, or a high-end draft pick who might even challenge T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd at the top of that pecking order. They do need another starter at wide receiver if AJ Green leaves. I think that's all important context as well, because, you know, if he goes, he's leaving a hole, a crater, both leadership-wise and in terms of on-the-field production.
It's crazy to think about, and honestly, we've talked a lot about the offseason moves because the season wasn't much of anything. They did go on their two-game win streak. They beat the Steelers, and of course, they're just coming off a road win against the Houston Texans, and there's going to be a lot of moves. We are a few days away from Black Monday, if that's on the coaching staff. And like we talked about in last week's podcast, I know Tyler said from a reliable source that at least one staff member won't be here in 2021. There could be more. We'll see what happens. He didn't say that. He said at least one. So we'll see what happens in a few days when it comes to the coaching staff and then when players. I mean, we'll have weeks and months of off-season talk and who gets extended and who moves on. But I think all signs are pointing to A.J. Green's departure after 10 years in Cincinnati. Now we move on to Baltimore. It's crazy to think how this team just wins that last game of the season. I mean, they could be having a terrible season, but they always find a way to win week 17. Baltimore needs in. Baltimore,
are you hinting at something, Lindsay?
Watch them win. I mean, honestly, the way they've been playing the last couple of weeks, I don't know who this team is. But no, Baltimore, honestly, if you look at the AFC North, and this is going to sound like a complete hot take, because there could be three teams from the AFC North going to postseason. I think Baltimore's playing like the best team. And when Baltimore plays like that, I could see them going on a run in the playoffs if they get in. I think if you're the other teams right now, you're the Miami Dolphins, you're the Buffalo Bills, even the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, Miami Dolphins aren't even in there yet, but you look at some of the top dogs, the 1 and 2 seed, and even the Pittsburgh Steelers. You don't want to play this Baltimore team the way they're rolling right now into postseason. So I think they finally got it going. But with this team, I know how fans feel about wins right now. They want the top 5 draft pick. They wanted top 3, but unfortunately that's not going to happen for them after that Houston Texans win. It could still, but we'll see what happens. What would a win over the Baltimore Ravens team, a hot Baltimore Ravens team, mean for this Cincinnati team that would get 3 wins in a row? I don't know if they carry over into the offseason. I know that's cliche and people want to use that, and I've said it. Like, look, you got to get wins at some point. What would a win on Sunday do?
Well, you know, the Bengals have said, players and coaches, that they want to end the season with some momentum, finish the season strong. And yeah, you can say that's coach speak, and, you know, that's, you know, every player will say that. But there is truth to that. You know, when you end the season on a high note with some wins, that can have a carryover effect to the following season. You mentioned the Miami Dolphins. They won 2 of their last 3 games last season, and now they're in the thick of the playoff race after, you know, a disappointing overall year last year, but then they finished strong. And it's carried over to this season, and now they could be playing in the middle of January in the postseason. Now, for the Bengals, not saying that they're going to be in postseason contention next year or anything, but when you rattle off wins at the end of that and end of your season, you know, you're feeling a lot better about, you know, yourself as a team, as a franchise, and the direction that you are going. And I said it earlier this week, win or lose versus Baltimore, I think the Bengals have done enough to feel optimistic. And, you know, and their feelings are valid. When you beat the Pittsburgh Steelers for the first time in 5 years, and then you win your first road games, first time since the 2018 season, there is, you know, a great, that has an effect, a positive effect. And if the Bengals beat the Ravens, it will shock me because the Ravens desperately need this game to, you know, enter the playoffs. And Lamar Jackson's 4-0 versus the Bengals. I believe the Bengals haven't beaten the Ravens since 2018, when Joe Flacco was a starter in early season. So, you know, it's going to take a lot. This Bengals team, they struggle to stop the run, but a win will mean the world to the Bengals, just for the fact that they have now beaten, if they win, every single team in the division under the Zach Taylor era. They beat the Browns in 2019. They beat the Steelers this year. And to beat the Ravens and the Steelers in the same season without arguably your two best players on offense in Joe Burrow and Joe Mixon, and without your starting left tackle and Jonah Williams, Then you go on the defensive side of the football. No Geno Atkins, no DJ Reader, no Trey Waynes. So, you know, this Bengals team, they have been, you know, decimated by injuries. And for them to go in and beat a Steelers team and to, you know, beat a Houston Texans team in Houston, and then to follow that up with a win versus the Ravens, that will be something that, you know, we haven't seen before in Cincinnati in a while. I believe the Bengals haven't been on a 3-game winning streak since 2015. So it will have a huge effect on Zach Taylor and the coaching staff and all the players. If they're able to beat Baltimore, I don't see it happening, but I, you know, if they do beat Baltimore, it will definitely have a positive effect.
So what I'm about to say, I mean this as the highest possible form of compliment. And honestly, I think this is complimentary as anything I've said this year on this podcast. If the Bengals were playing basically any other team except for Baltimore, I'd pick them to win this week. And of course, we'll get into our predictions later in the podcast. But, you know, for example, if the Bengals were playing the Cleveland Browns this week, or the Steelers again, maybe even the Colts, or another fringe playoff team in the AFC, like, say, the Oakland Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, I would pick the Bengals to win this week. Because a couple things. They've established the run. They've found a recipe to force turnovers. And Sam Hubbard has gotten to the point from his injury to recovery to where the Bengals have two pass rushers on both sides. And that has changed the calculus in a lot of ways, especially when you throw in the way Brandon Allen's played, giving you comfort play at quarterback for the first time in a while. I don't think I've picked the Bengals to win since I might have picked them to pick the Chargers week one. I don't remember picking them to be the Jaguars. I definitely didn't pick them to pick them to beat the Titans or the Steelers, and I didn't pick them to beat Houston last week either. So, again, I'll pick Baltimore to win this game. We'll get more into that in a minute. But when we're talking about positive momentum and what this win means to the team and the trajectory of the Bengals overall, I think the way I would feel about the Bengals against virtually any other team this week is a testament to the momentum that they've built at this point of the year.
What happens after Sunday?
Black Monday.
What else?
You know, there are going to be some changes, obviously, in Cincinnati with the coaching staff and the roster. I don't know exactly which coaches are going to be leaving town, but I know there's going to be at least one. And we can probably guess the players that are going to have a change of scenery after you know, this week 17 game, but there's going to be some shakeup in the city of Cincinnati and the Bengals franchise after this week 17 game. I can tell you that.
So you're saying when Zach Taylor was asked earlier this week that if he was going to have any, if, you know, the roster changes were already in talks or the coaching changes, if there were going to be any, he probably has an idea of all of those things that are going to be happening before Sunday.
Yeah, but during the final evaluation period, Zach Taylor is going to sit down with Mike Brown and the Brown family and, you know, assess everything that happened this season and, you know, give a final decision on, we'll make plans and have a final decision on, you know, the rest of the coaching staff as far as coordinators and assistant coaches.
I'll say this, you know, something I've said over and over again on this podcast is something I'm really not going to do is judge too much big picture-wise into what happened since Joe Burrow got hurt, for example. I wasn't going to let, you know, the obvious drop-off in quarterback impact the way I viewed, say, Tyler Boyd's overall production, just because there weren't going to be as many opportunities for him to get the catches he usually gets. So taking that, you know, strategy, taking that train of thought, you know, if the Bengals end up making coaching changes, it's clearly not going to be based off what happened against Houston and against Houston Pittsburgh, because, you know, those worked out well. You know, defensively and offensive line-wise, the Bengals have been in one of the better crews they've been in all season over the last few games. So, again, using that train of thought, it's a holistic approach, specifically with the focus on the Bengals when they were at their worst this season. Games like for the defense, games like the Colts and Cleveland come to mind. For the offensive line, games like obviously Washington and Philadelphia come to mind. If there are changes to the Bengals coaching staff, it'll be interesting to revisit some of those games and try to pinpoint the games where the areas that end up being changed. Let's go back and look at the games that they were at the worst this season. Because again, specific changes won't be based off how the Bengals look against Baltimore or against Houston, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh. It'll be based off what they were at their worst. And again, based off which coaches, or depending on whatever coaches there are changes at, it makes those games that much more interesting to revisit.
All right, let's go ahead and go to predictions. Week 17, the final one of the season. I think we all know where we're all going to lean to. I'm going to take the Baltimore Ravens. I think they're one of the hottest teams right now. It would be unfortunate if they did miss the playoffs because I want to see this team, what kind of role they could go on the AFC side. I like Lamar Jackson. I think he's playing what we saw from him last season. He struggled earlier this season. I know he was battling injuries. I'll go 28-17. I do think the Bengals offense does score some points and gets it rolling, but Baltimore will run away with this.
28-17, huh? So I have the Ravens beating the Bengals 27-13. You know, this team, they struggle with Lamar Jackson. They did hold him to a season low 3 rushing yards in the first meeting this season, but the Ravens did a running back by committee approach and still were able to, rush for a lot of yards on the ground. I think they're going to impose their will rushing the football, and the Bengals are going to succumb to that, and it's going to be a long day in Cincinnati because this Ravens team needs to win, and the Bengals, right now, they're just playing for pride, and they did get some momentum. I'm going to be optimistic because they won 2 games. They won 2 games, which surprised me. And we've been wrong in our predictions.
We have. Who knows what's going to happen on Sunday?
So, yes, I have the Ravens winning, but I think the Bengals, that they accomplish their goal of winning to close out the season, even if they lose on Sunday.
So I'm pretty sure the last 3 weeks I've picked the Bengals to lose either 27-6 or 20-6. And this week they're playing the best team they've played, probably since... I'm not going to go back and look through it, but the best team they've played in a while, certainly, Tyler, you've said multiple times they've been playing like the best team in the AFC North for a while now. I'm going to pick the Bengals to lose 27-13. But again, that's a closer margin and a much more competitive game than I've predicted to play the Bengals in a little while now. So again, I think that's a testament to the overall momentum they've built over the last few weeks.
And I know we're going to have a special guest on, Wayne Boxmuller. We'll have him in just a second. You can catch him on the pre- and post-game show for the Bengals Radio Network. Tyler, I know you have your questions. Go ahead and throw them because our guy Charlie is doing double duties in Atlanta. He's going to cover the Peach Bowl this weekend, and I know you have him.
Well, first of all, I'm still jealous that Charlie is in Atlanta. Charlie, it's like 30 degrees here right now. What's the weather in Atlanta?
50 and foggy.
50 and foggy. That's not bad. Okay. So... question of the day. What is the first thing that you are going to eat and drink when the clock hits 12 o'clock midnight on New Year's, January 1st, 2021? What's the first thing you're going to eat and drink? And you better be awake, Lindsay.
No, I'm not going to be.
You're not going to be awake?
No. Why? Why do I have to be awake for this?
You're going to sleep?
100%. This is my dream New Year's. Not my dream New Year's for what we're dealing with. I really hate everything about 2020 in that situation, but I hate New Year's Eve. I think it's overrated. I think people feel like they have to be doing something. They have to get dressed up, and they really have a terrible time. And the bars are crowded when you're allowed to be there. I don't want anything to do with that. I'm in sweatpants for this podcast for a reason. As soon as I leave here, I'm going to Chipotle, and I'm going to go home, and I'm going to watch some TV, some sports, whatever's on, and maybe I'll have a beverage. But I will not make it to midnight, and I will not miss it.
Are you serious?
100%.
Wow. You are going to sleep during the ball drop and New Year's. You're not going to have a champagne toast.
I'll have one just for you guys. I'll have one before I go to bed.
At 10 o'clock.
Yeah. This is my dream New Year's.
Wow.
Being inside.
Charlie, you're in Atlanta, the dirty South. What are you going to do?
A I'll use this to talk about two of my favorite things. Yes, I love New Year's, but two of my favorite things, especially getting to do this job, are one, getting into a stadium early and seeing just the game, you know, awaken and the stadium kind of come to life. And two, I love iced coffee. And so I will be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium early tomorrow morning, probably around an hour and a half, 2 hours before the game. And I'll have an iced coffee in my hand ringing in the New Year. I love New Year's. But this year's different, and at least on New Year's Day, I'll get two of my favorite things.
Okay. I have another question.
Of course you do.
Before you cut me off, Lindsay always trying to cut me off. I need you to predict who wins tomorrow between Georgia and Cincinnati, and also who wins the two college football playoff games tomorrow between Ohio State and Clemson, and Notre Dame and Alabama.
This is easy. I'll go first. I'm going to pick the Bearcats in an upset because Charlie has talked me into this because of some of the opt-outs for Georgia, and I think it would just be such a statement if UC won this game. Look, I don't believe UC should have been in the playoff, and don't hate me for this. If it's expanded, yes. I think that they were just – absolutely. It was unfair where they were ranked. And if you watched Oklahoma and Florida, you could see why UC should have been ranked higher. I think it's going to be a statement game for them, and they're going to win 35-30. When it comes to Clemson, and then I'll even go to the Alabama game, Clemson's going to win. I think it's going to be closer than people think. I think Ohio State fans, of course, they want to see the upset, of course, what happened last year in the playoff. But I'll take Clemson in the first game, and then Alabama. Alabama's the best team in college football.
Are they going to win a national title?
Yeah.
Okay. Charlie, go ahead.
So I think let's even forget about the opt-outs for a second. I think Cincinnati by far has the better quarterback. I think Cincinnati has the better skill position players and by far has the best secondary. Cincinnati might have one of the best three or four secondaries in all of college football. They have two great pass rushers as well. The advantage Georgia could have had would have, I think, been at the line of scrimmage, specifically some stuff in the run game. With the opt-outs, they're not even going to have that. Before I make prediction, I do want to say this as well. I hope Georgia's opt-outs don't become an excuse that Talking Heads used to delegitimize the win if Cincinnati will win. That's not how I'll view it at all. I think it would do leaps and bounds both for the program and for the conference. And I think they do it. I think Desmond Ridder, who has been one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the country, I pulled this stat, no quarterback in college football has been as efficient while being as productive running the ball as Desmond Ridder. You don't see that. I think he wins the game and has a real moment that puts him on the NFL draft radars. I think UC wins 31-28.
Wow. Okay. Well, I won't give a prediction for Cincinnati and Georgia, but I will say I got Alabama in a national championship.
And Clemson?
Oh,
you're going to go with the Buckeyes.
No, I'll say Clemson. And I think Alabama wins. I like the way Alabama plays football. I like Najee Harris. I think he's the best running back in college football. And I got Alabama winning the Natty.
Make sure you stay.
I do as well. I forgot to make that pick. I have Alabama beating Clemson in the championship.
Make sure you stay with Cincinnati.com. Our guy, Charlie Goldsmith, will be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. He's already there right now, and he'll have it all covered, post-game, pre-game, everything from UC and Georgia at the Peach Bowl. And also go to Cincinnati.com. What's up there, guys?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, my AJ Green story, you know, Kevin Durant sent him a jersey a while ago when he changed teams, and I think that, you know, there might be a jersey swap for AJ Green, him returning the favor. So we'll see about that. And three keys. The Bengals follow these three things. They will actually pull off another massive upset to close out the season and win three games in a row.
I have my last regular season Bengals feature of the year. The secret behind some of Carl Lawson's success throughout his career as a pass rusher, how he became so strong, and how he learned it from his dad and his high school coach.
All right, we're back on the Bengals Beat Podcast Extra Edition. We have our guy, Wayne Box Miller. You'll hear him on the pre- and post-game show for the Bengals Radio Network. How you doing, Wayne?
Good. Happy New Year to you guys.
Cincinnati legend, Wayne Box Miller.
Oh, boy.
How's it going? How's it going? How's your year going? And you know, closing out the new year and bringing in it. I know what's best. You're probably drinking some bourbon tonight, right?
Well, not yet. I will have a toast to the end of 1 year and the optimism of a new year.
Okay, well, that's good. So, you know, we've been talking a lot about this Bengals team and the direction of the franchise. And A.J. Green spoke today at length about, you know, he loves the city of, you know, Cincinnati, but also values winning at the same time. And he doesn't know what the future holds, but, you know, he's putting it in God's hands. So if you had a crystal ball, what do you think is going to happen with A.J. Green? Do you think he's going to stay in Cincinnati and sign another contract here? Or do you believe, you know, he is going to go off and try to win a ring elsewhere?
Wow, that's a good question. I did watch the press conference, and, you know, steady AJ as always, never, you know, never too high, never too low. I think that this is probably the last one for him, and I hate even saying that, but I think about Andy Dalton last year, and that same question happened, and they put a video out before the end of the year about him, and they put out a video at the end of this year, I guess a week or so ago, about A.J. Green. So, you know, I would like to see A.J. come back. I know he talked about this offense is a little different for him because he's in more of a fixed position versus lining up in different places on the field and the other offenses. So maybe it's just a matter of finding the right fit and, you know, the Bengals moving on for him. But, I mean, when you think about a guy that's got 65 touchdowns and almost 10,000 yards and, 649 catches. I mean, his legacy is set as far as Bengals stripes, but you almost like to just see him get one more year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, I have happened to agree with you. You know, obviously Bengals fans, they want to see A.J. Green finish out his career in Cincinnati, but I think momentum is going towards him, you know, moving in a different direction, and both sides, you know, having, you know, a decision where they're going to move on. So we'll see. We definitely will see. But the current Bengals, they are on a 2-game winning streak. Haven't won 2 games in a row since 2018, before my time here. Lindsay, you were still covering the team, right? you know, has their winning streak surprised you? Because, you know, a lot of times it's easy for teams to lay down, especially when they're not going anywhere and, you know, vacation time is coming up, going to Cancun or whatever. Are you surprised at this 2-game winning streak the Bengals are currently in the midst of?
You know, in some ways I actually am. And I, in other ways, I think it's the culmination of what we were told all year long by Zach Taylor. And that's that, you know, this team is, you know, resilient and resolute about the direction they're going in. And, you know, when you really look at the season, I mean, the first game they lost by 3 points, the next game 5 points, they tied Philadelphia. I mean, Baltimore blew them out. That was clearly, you know, a beatdown. But the Colts, you know, they gave up the lead and they ended up losing by 4. So you start looking at the wins and the losses, and when the losses total outside of a couple blowouts, I mean, the losses were single-digit losses, so they were right there. And I think it was just turnovers. It was penalties. You think of the first Pittsburgh game, 0 of 13 on third down conversions. And so correcting those mistakes, as he talked about, I mean, it sounded like a broken record because he had to address it every week, but they were very competitive. They were just making so many mistakes. And now you look at the last 2 games and look at the number of mistakes that weren't made, and they put themselves in position to win the game, plain and simple. And they have an opportunity to win 3 in a row. And I mean, how nice would it be again to knock Baltimore out of the playoffs like Andy Dalton and Tyler Boyd did?
Yeah, that's true. Well, I know you're, you know, you're a Bengals employee, so I kind of have to be I have to be careful with the way I ask this question. So let me ask it this way. How do you think Zach Taylor has done as a head coach this season, given, you know, he had Joe Burrow for, you know, the first portion of the season, had Joe Mixon for, you know, a handful of games or so. And, you know, without several starters on both sides of the ball, he's been able to, you know, rattle off some wins. But, you know, overall, it's still obviously a disappointing season. Every other team in the AFC North has a winning record besides the Bengals. So when you look and evaluate Zach Taylor and what he's done this season, you know, what's your evaluation?
You know, I think you are, you know, you articulated a really good point that you have to factor in any evaluation of Zach Taylor as a young coach. He learned a whole lot this year, right? So you're thinking, you come in, you get the number one pick is playing well, and bam, he's gone. But even before that, you make the big free agency sign in DJ Reader, you know, several games in, bam. You make the free agency sign that show up the offensive line with Xavier Suafilo, bam, after one game, he's gone. And so, you know, for a young coach with very little head coaching experience to be thrown into the fire, and I thought about this for a while because at the beginning of the season, I was wondering, you know, did he have what it takes because of the losing streak? But I have to give him credit for one thing above and beyond everything else. He never folded. And you've been in this business long enough to know, Tyler, that at some point the coaches start getting snappy and, you know, all of a sudden they don't want to talk to the media. And, you know, it's like a very, very tense environment. But every week there he was saying, I believe in what we're doing. I know we're headed in the right direction. I know there was some conversation about, you know, mutiny on the Bounty and, you know, all this kind of stuff in the locker room. But then again, every week here come the players. Hey, we're united. Hey, we're one. You know, we're all good. And, you know, they just continue to do that. And now here they are with a two-game winning streak. They're playing a better brand of football. So I think that he deserves to come back. I think that, you know, there may be some changes, you know, around the team. I don't know that. I'm just saying there may be because it's NFL. There's always changes. But if you look at where the team was at the beginning of the year, you look at where this team was at the bye, and then for them to come back and play the way they're playing now, you know, something happened, something started working, and it was the players, not the coach, the players that stopped making the mistakes that put them in a situation where they couldn't win the game at the end.
Yeah. So you think he deserves another opportunity to bring his third season?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I say that for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think that, you know, as minuscule as it may sound to a lot of people, you know, they doubled the amount of wins. And people say, well, that's nothing, Wayne. I mean, it's like you went from 2 to 4 wins. That's nothing. But when you do it with all of the hurdles and hazards and obstacles that they had with the injuries and everything else, and then even with Carlos Dunlap, that was a very disruptive situation for both parties. It was disruptive for Carlos because he really didn't feel like the team valued him, and he didn't feel like he got the respect he deserved. It was disruptive for the Bengals because, you know, the distraction, as we know, the focus goes from not football conversation, but, hey, Carlos, what's going on? Are you happy? Carlos, what's up? And so apparently he and the ownership said, let's do something about it. Let's get it out of the way so we can get on to the business of Cincinnati Bengals football. Worked out for both teams. Carlos is in the playoffs. I'm very happy for him. He did a lot of great things here. And the Bengals, you know, they're putting some things together. The guys that are still here still say they're united. But you look at the line, they're going to have to address that defensive line because they're not getting any pressure on the quarterback with any consistency. I mean, outside of Carl Lawson, who of late has really been pouring it on. I mean, the quarterback pressures, the sacks, just being disruptive. But you'd like to see more pressure from the front, but DJ Reader's out, Mike Daniels is out, and so the injuries continue to plague them. Geno Atkins missing literally the whole season. Again, and I'm not making excuses, but those are just facts.
Well, if Wayne says it, that means it's probably going to happen. He has a good pulse of the team. He's been around Cincinnati for probably before I was born.
I knew, you know, where's Lindsay when you need her? I mean, just I knew this was going to be like this.
Wayne, I need you. I need you on this podcast. I'm way too optimistic for Tyler.
Lindsay, you know, you're the voice of reason, and I know that it's hard for you because Tyler – you know, one minute he's a Laker fan, the next minute he's another fan, and then the next minute he's got another hat. So you know.
Wayne, we're live here.
He likes to jump teams. He's jumping teams for the rinks. That's what he's doing.
I mean, I was going to say it's good to have you, Wayne, but I think I've changed my mind. No, in all seriousness, it is great to have you on. You know, you've been covering the team for a long time. You know the pulse of the team. And nobody works a locker room like Wayne. He'll work a locker room, and then all of a sudden he goes ghost. You don't know where he is.
Where'd he go?
But then he's talked to like 10 players. But before we get you out of here, do you have a prediction, score prediction for this Sunday?
Yes, you know, as a matter of fact, I knew you were going to ask me that. And I knew you were going to ask me thinking that I was going to say something very generic. But I'm going to tell you, I am, just like I did in the Tennessee game, I called for an upset. In the Giants game, I missed the score by, 2 points? But I did say the Bengals would win. But I think that the Bengals are going to knock them out of the playoffs yet again. I think if the pandemic is really the pandemic, and that was my logic for them beating the Steelers, I told somebody, if the pandemic is real, we'll beat the Steelers. So I'm going to ride the pandemic wave and say that it just wouldn't make sense to the average person for that to happen. Therefore, it's going to happen. Tyler Boyd, I know he was practicing a little bit this week, but how cool would it be for Tyler Boyd again to get on the field and Brandon Allen hit him and he breaks the tackle, runs in the end zone, knocks the Ravens out of the playoffs, and Tyler just keeps running right into the locker room?
I mean, can he see in the future? What are we going to see on Sunday?
Hey, if that happens, I will buy Wayne a bottle of bourbon.
Okay. I like that. I like that. Well, Wayne Boxmiller, I love having you on. We need to do it more often. Everyone can catch you on the pre- and post-game show. Where can they find you on Twitter?
Twitter, everything is Wayne Boxmiller. You go to LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, everything Wayne Boxmiller. I'll be there. And Lindsay, thank you for inviting me on. You know, Tyler, you know, he kept pushing me away, but I know somewhere deep down inside all of this, you made it happen.
I did. Thank you, sir. And like I said, fans can catch you pre- and post-game show. They'll have you for the Week 17 finale at Paul Brown Stadium when the Cincinnati Bengals take on the Baltimore Ravens. Thank you for listening to the BBP Extra.